I lived in a bungalow in Colgreen Lane. Where the bungalow was placed, it was well away from all the houses in Welwyn Garden City, so I spent most of my young childhood really on my own. It was only odd occasions that I went with other boys. We always had Christmas at home and everything, and I was always had train sets and steam engines and all this sort of thing. And my father and my brother and everything did make me a large train that I could sit in and pedal around in and everything, you know, sort of drive it and everything. Yeah. As a youngster and everything, I had my first air gun when I was nearly six, just after I was 5 years old, five and a half, something like that. And because my father had been a regular soldier and everything, all boys or adults in those days living in the country all had guns. Mm. And my father was very keen and everything that I should have a gun and know how to use it properly, how to look after it, not to use it dangerously, you know, point it at people or anything like that. And I spent a lot of time and everything, you know, I put up targets and everything in the garden and everything to shoot at and everything. And as time progressed, I became a very good shot with an air gun. And then obviously I progressed to shotguns and was a very, very good shot with those. Mm. And my father always taught me, you know, never to shoot at something that wasn't within range of being quickly killed.
Thousands and thousands of grey squirrels, which was a problem. And, you know, we used to shoot those because we used to, first of all, we got a shilling a tail. Cut the tails off and send them. You know, got a shilling a tail. Then it went up to 2 shillings a tail. And then it went up to half a crown a tail. And obviously, I mean, there were so many around. I mean, we had sort of bags of the thing. Oh, yes, they were a problem. We were just overrun with the things, really.
Those days and everything, you know, I was using a 12-bore shotgun. Mm. And we literally shot hundreds of squirrels to get the tails, you know, which we got.
There again, you know, in the fields around, there was, I can't say millions, thousands, I suppose, of moles. And I used to trap moles. I used to go out at night and everything, or in the evening and everything, put traps out and everything, put about 10 or 12 traps down and everything, and then go around in the morning to collect the moles and everything. And obviously they were skinned, pegged out on boards, and they were sent.
So it was all done really as a way of generating income?
Oh, yes.
You had to put the trap in the run, and what happened and everything, you know, when the trap was opened and everything, you know, there was a little ring in the centre and everything, which kept the two prongs and everything apart, and as the mole went along the track, it pushed this button in the front out, and then the trap came in and caught the mole. But you had to be very careful that when you put the traps in, you always rub them in the soil first so that the mole couldn't smell you or anything, especially made mole traps. I used to use an Ever Ready razor blade because the Ever Ready razor blade at that time had a bar along one edge which you could sort of push on, sort of thing on that. Yeah. And because being very sharp, I was able to run the blade down the belly of the mole, peel the skin off, and then peg them out. And after I'd done quite a few, I'd got it to an exact skill that I didn't even, with the blade, I just cut through the skin. I never ever cut into the gut. Mm. So I didn't get any blood or anything like that on my hands or anything, you know. It was quite clean in doing it, really.
Yes.
You know. Used to send the rabbit skins and the mole skins to one place. They all went together. I used to get 9 pence per mole skin, which I kept the money for that. My father had the money for the rabbit skins. And then I went to Munt's, the cycle shop in Welwyn Garden City, and bought my first bike. And I think that was something like, I'm not sure it was 12 or 14 pound. It was a black Phillips bike. Oh, I'd had a bike before that. My father knew somebody and everything. They'd got an old bike and everything, which was a small bike and everything. And I had that, a bit rusty and everything, you know, but I had that 12, 13, I suppose. Went mainly sort of round the Welwyn Garden City, round Hartford. There was a big gravel pit and everything in Colgreen Lane. I used to sort of ride round that for fun, that was.
Enjoy.
The back of where our house was in Dingswall Park Road, there was a large field, and at the other side of that field, there was what was known as the Welwyn Dump, which is now the bottom of the A1M. You know, the motorway goes over it. Well, there was several lads and everything, we used to go over there sort of on a Sunday morning and everything, shooting the rats and things like that that was running around there and everything, you know. You know, I used to go to Welling Player Fields, we were playing football or cricket or things like that. I suppose I first started doing that when I was about 12. And I used to, you know, go beating for pheasants at Brockett.
Yeah.
The boys and everything used to get 10 shillings and the men used to get 25 shillings.
Right.
And that was for all day.
Mm.
You started in September because you was beating then for partridges. Right. And then in October and everything, you know, you were beating for pheasants.
Mm.
And it was quite nice when you was beating for partridges because it was mostly grassy fields and, you know, ploughed fields and that you was crossing and everything, you know, which was nice. But when you was beating for pheasants and everything, you oftentimes had to walk through fields of kale, which were about 5 foot tall and soaking wet. And of course, you know, that time of the year, it was frosty as well. You know, we all used to stop for lunch and everything at midday.
Sandwiches,
we had to take sandwiches, yeah. The guns and everything, you know, obviously they were the moneyed people, and the keepers and everything was allowed in the pubs, but the men and everything, they had to be out in a shed or outside.
Yes.
They was never allowed inside with the guns.
Yes. No. And how many of you would have been?
Probably about 20 or so.
Oh, a lot. Yes.
And I mean, we had to be, when you were sort of coming up towards the guns, I mean, some of the guns used to shoot at pheasants coming above us, and you used to feel the shot dropping down on you. And that. I mean, it was just sort of, well, like rain, I suppose, hail.
You always
kept your hat on.
So when would the pheasant season finish?
Beginning of February.
That was Brockett Park?
Brockett Park, yes. Now, the hunt and everything, you know, was around... around the Digswell Park area and everything, you know, and parts of Sherrod's Wood.
Mm.
And I used to go out late evening time and everything, you know, because, you know, living in that area, we knew where the foxes lived, where they would run to, and where they would likely to hide and that sort of thing, you know. So I used to go round and everything. I used to get 10 shillings for that at night. And I used to block, you know, all their holes up and everything, you know, so there was no easy place for them
so
to hide.
Yes, you know where they come out.
Yeah, and I, the following day and everything, when the hunt took place, I used to stand near a gate and everything, you know, because the huntsmen and everything, when they arrived, they would either give us a shilling or sometimes even got half a crown to open the gate for them, you know. Now, it was a seasonal activity. That was like sort of autumn time and everything that took place. And I joined the first Welling Scout Group when I was about 12. And while I was in the Scouts, in 1957, I went to the Boy Scouts Jamboree at Sutton Coalfield, which was a wonderful experience. Each county and everything had their own plot and everything, you know. And obviously there was a selected scout groups of scouts and everything on each plot. So we actually stayed on a campsite in Nuneaton and everything, and we went backwards and forwards to Sutton Coalfield every day. Unfortunately, the first few days of the Jamboree and everything, it was glorious sunshine. But from then on, it tipped it down from rain, and it was a little bit like stomping around on the Somme
tent.
One thing I would say, while we was at the Jamboree, the Americans and that, they had a big camp there and everything, and they had this huge trench with this massive sort of blower, like a sort of a gigantic blow lamp.
Yeah.
And they used to be cooking beef burgers. Now, I'd never had beef burgers, never even heard of them before. And these Americans were dishing them out. So as soon as I used to get to that camp each day, I was after the beef burgers.
Yes.
And the Americans were marvellous. They were really nice. I would think nothing of cycling, you know, to sort of Bishop Stortford on a Sunday morning and everything, you know, and back.
Mm.
You know, just because I wanted to see something. Or grandparents and everything lived in Little Haddam and everything. So
yes,
I'd see
course.
Them, you know.
Yes. Yes.
And I found it, you know, quite quick and cheap. And
yes. Yes, of course.
And I was quite good at maintaining the cycle. One of the things I did just after I left school and everything, I used to go ice skating with about five or six friends and everything, and we used to go to Queen's in Bayswater, London, and it used to cost us, we used to go once a month, and we spent £1. It was 3 and 9 pence for the train fare, and then the rest of the money was for the hire of the skates, a can of Coke, and a beef burger. Yes, it was usually on a Saturday evening, Saturday night, and everything, you know, we did that. And we, because it was £1, I mean, at the time, I was working as an apprentice at de Havilland, and I earned £2.03 a week.
Right.
So, yes. You know, £1 a month, you know.
That was, yes, that was doable.
But, yeah, that's right, yeah.